Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were tied around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm doesn't die and fire isn't quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, Jesus talks to us very clearly, as does St. James, about Christian coherence, about the integrity of our living our faith and not just professing it. A lot of the times we can think our faith is really hard, but Jesus wants us to focus on little, clearly doable things. Today, at the beginning of the Gospel, he doesn't say if you really want to be a Christian, you've got to do this list of a zillion things. He says, anyone who gives a cup of cold water to somebody in my name will surely not lose his reward. Begins with those little things of every day where we're concerned enough about somebody else that we recognize the person's thirsty and we immediately spring into action, not by giving them our entire fortune, but by giving them what they need, a cup of cold water. That's the type of coherence that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to love each other in those concrete little things. Jesus contrasts that type of behavior with someone who lives in a scandalously incoherent way. He begins with what causes us to sin. He asks us to be brutal. You know, just yesterday, I'm not sure if some of you saw it. I get all my news on the computer, not on the television. I'm not sure really it was on the television. But Miles O'Brien, who's the PBS science reporter, used to be the anchor on Channel 7 here. He was over in Japan and the Philippines, and as he was moving some of the film equipment, dropped it on his arm. His arm was hurting for a couple days, but it basically injured him to such a degree that there was a blockage in his blood. He went in to try to get it fixed, and he woke up without his arm any longer because it had gotten so bad that it needed to be amputated. And Miles typed something out with his one hand left on his blog. He described exactly what had occurred, but he said at the very end of it, "I am so glad to be alive." It's exactly right. If there's a choice between dying or living the rest of your life amputated, any of us who thinks clearly is going to say, as much as I appreciated having both of my hands throughout my life until this point, I'd rather live with one hand than to die with both. Jesus is telling us to be the same way with regard to anything that will lead us to the eternal death. If it's our hands, chop them. If it's our feet, chop them. If it's our eyes, pluck them. Now, Jesus isn't really saying amputate ourselves physically in order to solve the spiritual problem, but he's telling us to be absolutely brutal in excising from our life whatever would cause us to sin. the first reading today, we see one of those things that for most of us does need to be chopped, does need to be tossed, does need to be plucked out. St. James talks about the way money can corrupt us. It's one of the most powerful castigations of Christians ever given. Remember, he was saying this to Christians. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. That word wail there means to screech, to scream. There were three forms of wealth in the ancient world. First was grain or corn, food. Second was clothing. We didn't have in this materialistic world Macy's and all these other food stores. If you had really good clothing, that was an incredible treasure. We see throughout the Old Testament that if you really wanted to give somebody an incredible gift, you'd give them clothing. Clothing's two. Third is gold, is stuff like that. And so what does St. James say? Your wealth, all your food has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded. Now, any of us who know precious metals know that gold and silver don't rust. But he was saying, yours has. That corrosion will be a testimony against you. How does gold corrode? It's because it's not being used. It's just sitting there. How does food rot away? It's just sitting there. How do clothes become moth-eaten? They're just hanging there. Doesn't get eaten when we're wearing it. And while there are starving people, and while there are naked people, and while there are poor people, you're just storing all of this stuff, hoarding it in a sense, and it's all going to pass away. You've stored up treasure for your last days, but you won't be able to have it. The wages you withheld from workers who harvested your fields are crying out loud. Cries of the harvesters have reached the Lord of hosts. You've lived on earth in luxury and pleasure, and in an incredibly graphic image. You've fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. Again, what do you do with a fatted calf? What do you do with an animal that's gotten really big? You're preparing that animal for the feast, not for continuing to live. As our hearts get fat, all we're doing, he said, is preparing it for the slaughter of death. We're not preparing to live. If we were really preparing to live, he's saying, we'd excise that fat, we'd stay lean in our heart, we'd never become spiritually obese, but always spiritually in tip-top shape. That's what he's describing. And ultimately, you've murdered the righteous one. And doing this type of stuff, you've killed Jesus Christ. And this was said to Christians. Now, when most of us hear passages like this, we think, thanks be to God, I'm not Bill Gates, he's rich. Again, all of us here, the poorest person in this chapel today is in the 90th percentile of wealth in the world. Most of us don't have to worry, thanks be to God, about whether we're going to eat today. Most of us don't have to worry if we're going to be able to find a place to live today. Most of us don't really need somebody else to offer us a cup of cold water, because we've got water in the fridge, or we've got clean water in our sinks, and we've got a glass that we can use to drink it. St. James is really trying to get us to look at our notion of wealth. And what he's saying is, don't let your wealth be a millstone tied around your neck to toss you into the bottom of the sea. Use your hands to give it away. Use your eyes to see others in need. Use your feet to cross the road to bring it to somebody in need. If your money is your millstone, give it away. Give it away with wisdom. Give it away with charity. That's what he's talking about. The end of today's gospel, Jesus describes how we're able to live this life of Christian coherence. St. Mark links together three things Jesus said about salt. Everyone will be salted with fire. Before any of the sacrifices were made in the temple, when you would be, for example, sacrificing a lamb, after you slaughtered the lamb and you took the meat out, before you'd actually burn it in the Holocaust, you'd fill it with salt. Nothing would be withheld from making that sacrifice worthy of the Lord. So we must be salted, he's saying, for the giving of ourselves over to God. Talks about salt losing its flavor. That's when we become insipid. That's when we are incoherent in our Christian life. And he says, therefore, keep salt in yourself so that you'll have peace with one another. Salt, as I mentioned a few weeks ago on Sunday, when we talked about Jesus giving us our vocation to be the salt of the earth, salt had three functions. One was flavor, but that was the least of the three important. The second is it would be mixed with dung and lit on fire as the ancient slow-burning charcoal. And third, it was meant to prevent things from rotting. We're supposed to keep that salt alive within ourselves to prevent the gold of our soul from corroding, for preventing the food from corrupting, and our inner selves from being moth-eaten and eaten alive by the spiritual cancer of sin. We've got to retain that salt inside. This type of a coherent life is what Jesus demands of us as his followers. Pope Francis this morning, in his homily at the Domus in the Vatican, said something that I think explains more than anything else his entire approach to the Christian life and what's absolutely captivated the entire world about the way he's lived his papacy. He says, if you're face to face with an atheist, what's going to bring that atheist to faith? He said, you might have a library of 1,000 books, and you could go through every single book with that atheist, and the chances that you are going to bring that atheist to Christ, the chances that you're going to be the salt and the light in that person's life are almost nil. It's rare when just by reading and learning you're going to bring somebody to the faith. If you really want to bring that atheist to the faith, show them a real Christian life. Show them someone who sacrifices everything for the poor. Show that atheist someone who suffers with joy, united with the Lord. Someone who forgives even those who have made themselves his or her enemy. That's the thing that's going to make the atheist start to scratch his head and wonder about a better way of living and what could possibly inspire you to live in that way. That's exactly what Pope Francis has been doing. He's making everybody scratch their heads because of the way he lives his papacy, showing the gospel even before he preaches the gospel. That's the type of coherence in the Christian life to which the Lord is calling you and me. So today, as we come forward to the altar, salted on the outside, we ask the Lord to salt us on the inside, to keep us from corroding, to keep us united to Him, to keep us good and healthy. We ask Him to give us the courage to pluck out from our existence anything that leads us to sin and leads us to scandalize others. We ask Him in a special way to give us the courage to be brutally generous, brutally charitable in our giving others not just cups of cold water, but the money in which that the Lord has placed into our hands, not to make them fall off, but so that we might become His hand sharing them to others. It's at Mass where we retain our salt. It's at Mass that we retain that mission. Let us go out strengthened in communion by the Lord to love, so that we will not condemn and kill the righteous one, but together with the righteous one become just and bring the whole world to God. Praise be Jesus Christ.